All right, champ. Sit. Sit, buddy. Come on. Good dog. All right, paw. Paw. Shake. Yes. Here you go. You know, what's really great about these dogs is that they can be great medicine. And when you train them, they can do some really cool things. But some dogs, when specially trained, take on the role as assistance dogs. And they're very important in helping the lives of people who can be physically and emotionally challenged. And now we're about to meet a young man and a little boy whose lives have been changed for the better because of an assistance dog.
Going to college is all about independence, being on your own, testing your wings. For freshman Jesse Brasisco, you'd think that'd be a challenge.
A lot of people come up to me and go, why do you need an assistance dog? What does she do for you? And I'll just say, where do I start?
Jesse's been a quadriplegic since he was 10 years old when his four-wheeler flipped over, crushing three of his vertebrae.
The first thing they told me was, okay, you're going to have a ventilator for the rest of your life. You're not going to be able to move for the rest of your life. Just right then and there, I knew that wasn't going to be true.
Jesse is off the ventilator and has some movement in his right arm. But for 12 years, he's been striving for something more, independence. Jesse found it last summer at the Assistance Dog Institute in Santa Rosa, California. The Institute's founder, Dr. Bonnie Bergen, pioneered the concept of assistance dogs more than 30 years ago. She holds a doctorate in education, and she was a teacher when she came up with the idea.
The mainstreaming law had passed, which would then have people with disabilities in classrooms. The professors asked us what could be done, and I went, dogs. Dogs could do it. And it was like being struck by lightning. I mean, it was that absolute.
Dr. Bergen is credited with developing the concept of placing service dogs in people's homes.
Turning a light on is not simple because the dog had to turn the light on with its nose and then use its teeth to grab hold of it and pull it down to turn off the light.
Lawrence, switch, switch, good girl.
Things like picking up something dogs have been retrieving for years. Tugging open doors, that took a little bit more effort.
Florence, tug. That's it. Tug. Florence, get it. Good girl. Come here. When I first got my assistance dog, it opened up a new door of independence for me.
Good girl.
Florence was changing Jesse's life, along with the perceptions of people around him.
People with disabilities going out in public, they're marginalized. They tell me that they go out in a wheelchair and people look past them. And this is something that they live with on a daily basis. They get that dog, then they become the popular person.
People are more friendly. They're more willing to come up to me and say hi.
There are thousands of assistance dogs in the United States. From guide dogs for the blind to hearing or signal dogs for the deaf to service dogs like Florence here who help with physical tasks.
She's very aware and she's very in tune with me. She knows exactly what I want. She knows where to get it, how to get it, and if she can't, she'll find a way.
You look at the personality of the dog and you look at the personality of the person, and in our research, it showed that the more similar they were, the happier they were with each other because they were in sync.
Florence has given me a lot of confidence. She's a great companion. It's made independent living so much easier.
Ready? Throw it for Charlie.
Not far from Berkeley, another assistance dog is changing the life of a little boy and his family. 5-year-old Patrick Leffler has autism.
Autism is a neurological disorder that affects children socially, emotionally, sensory issues, speech.
Throw the ball for Charlie. Throw it.
From the beginning, he didn't speak, and he was completely, it was like he was deaf and blind the first year of life. He wouldn't look at you, he didn't hear you, you could say his name 100 times, he wouldn't do it. He just wanted to sit on the floor and open and close the kitchen cabinets and bang them.
He was diagnosed with autism before his second birthday. In addition to autism, Patrick also has ADHD and problems with impulsive behavior.
He was unbearable to live with for a good portion of 2 years. The destruction to our home was tremendous. He would go and get all the glasses. He'd fill them with ice cubes and take them and drop them off the second floor balcony onto the driveway to hear them smash. And this would be 4:30 in the morning. Ouch!
Patrick's behavior was turning from disruptive to dangerous.
He would get up and he would hit me as I'm driving 65 miles an hour down the road. I literally had to tie him to the seat. He's not a bad boy. He has autism. He didn't want to be that way.
Karen and her family were exhausted and desperate. And then she heard about a pilot program for autistic children at Bonnie Bergen's Assistance Dog Institute. George Ann Powers is a trainer there. She accepted Patrick into the pilot program and introduced him to Charlie.
It was love at first sight, literally. He hugged him, kissed him, just wrapped his arms around him, and it was real evident that he had a bond with this dog.
The two of them connected. And then we went and met some other dogs.
And he pet them, you know, but it wasn't that same connection.
And every time, every dog, it kept coming back. Patrick would say, "Where's Charlie?" And we'd say, "Well, here's another dog." "Well, where's Charlie?" "Where's Charlie?" And we knew.
And that's really important to have that bond, and it was obvious right from the start that he loved Charlie and wanted to be with him.
Go, Pat, go. Giddy-yap.
Getting Charlie has been the best for Patrick, but also best for the family, because autism, it's a family disease, and people forget that. Things were a lot calmer, I guess a little more grounded for the whole family, not as chaotic.
At Patrick's school this semester, the children have a new classmate. Mary Siglarski-Sherwin is Patrick's full-time aide in the classroom.
Circle 10 before Charlie was Patrick running, getting up, running all over the place, getting into everything. With Charlie there, he's wanting to stay there and be by Charlie and be part of the group.
Patrick is sensitive to light, so his sunglasses are with him nearly as often as Charlie is.
If Charlie's wearing a lab coat, Patrick will put on the lab coat. Patrick wouldn't put on the lab coat before. That's something he wouldn't want to do. It didn't feel right.
Okay, you and Charlie are ready to go.
When Patrick's upset, he uses Charlie to lay on. It's like having your best friend with you all the time, and your security blanket, and your pillow, and your home.
Charlie just draws him in. And it actually puts a face on the disability. It shows that there is something there, but it's okay.
You can't put that in a bottle. That is, as far as I'm concerned, that is magic. That's turning their whole life around.
You don't have to be my friend, but is it too much to ask?
Patrick and Charlie are the first team to graduate from George Ann's Autism Pilot Program.
It's the culmination of what we've been working on, preparing this dog for someone to help improve their life. And so when they're on stage and the leash is handed over, it's official.
He's not alone in his world. Charlie's in his world. And sometimes I'm there, but it's really hard for Patrick to be in our world all the time. Now Charlie's in Patrick's world, and he has a friend there. And it's not a lonely place anymore. He has empathy, he has a companion, he has a buddy. You have to have a best friend. And for Patrick, that's not a person. It's Charlie.
The partnerships between Patrick and Charlie and Jesse and Florence are proof that hope can be found at the end of a leash.
Yeah, come on, Jesse, come on. Of course, the bond that exists between people and their pets is often incredibly strong. But the thing is, sometimes we love our pets just a little bit too much, giving them too much food and not enough exercise. You've heard that America is overweight. Thing is, so are many of our pets. For people, too many extra pounds can increase your risk of conditions like heart disease. Extra pounds on pets can lead to things like arthritis. But a good walk can be the first step for people and pets to get in shape together. So, here's a story about a woman who found the motivation to get active when she learned her dog's health depended on it.
I would look in the mirror, and I felt that I looked healthy, that I was trim. I was in denial about how overweight I was.
Julia Wilder's on a mission to lose weight through exercise, and she's got a secret weapon, her American Eskimo dog, Tundra. A year ago, she was more than 50 pounds overweight, and then a routine visit to the doctor brought some alarming news.
My doctor told me that I was within 10 points of type 2 diabetes, and I was totally shocked.
A month later, Julia got another wake-up call when she took Tundra to the vet.
They told me that he was seriously overweight as well. It definitely felt like a double whammy. We were each at a point where we needed some intervention. We needed to change our eating habits and our exercise habits.
Oh boy. Let's go. Good boy.
So Julia and Tundra started pounding the pavement with two brisk 15-minute walks a day.
Initially, each of our goals was to lose 10% of our body weight.
Now, there haven't been any formal studies proving that fit pets make for fit owners, but a growing number of healthcare experts believe there's a strong correlation. Paula Puntenay is a preventive medicine specialist who has dealt with a lot of patients like Julia and a lot of dogs like Tundra.
Just in my background with trying to get people to exercise, I know that just giving them an exercise program to follow just doesn't work. But there's something about helping a dog that will get you out and walk.
Paula figured out a way for people without dogs and dogs without people to get in shape together. In her hometown of Indianapolis, Paula organized local walk-a-hound, lose-a-pound programs for people to meet and walk shelter dogs.
I think everybody benefits both from a dog standpoint as well as a people standpoint. A lot of people come out to help the dogs, but in doing so, they ended up taking them for a walk. Then the next thing you know, they've kind of picked out a special dog, and we have dogs that go home, which is the best part of this.
Not all people and pets are getting the exercise they need. In fact, some are so out of shape that taking a walk isn't even an option. I visited the Animal Medical Center in New York City, home to a state-of-the-art canine fitness facility.
So this is the hydrotherapy room, so this must be the place. Hi.
Hi.
We've got a special patient today who's going to be getting some hydrotherapy.
Yes, we have Bailey Kay here. She's a 6-year-old Maltese that's coming in for weight loss so she can be more comfortable.
And it looks like Bailey's ready to go for a swim.
She is ready. Come on. If you want to pick her up and bring her to the treadmill, she's really nice, and you can just lift her up like that.
Like that?
Yep. Just follow me here.
These dogs look, as you can see, they look incredibly miserable. They get 24 hours of touching and feeling and scratching and rubbing.
So this is the treadmill here, and you can just go ahead and set her in there. That's for you. And I can shut that for you.
This is a very sort of interesting looking contraption. It has sort of a James Bond, Dr. Evil look to it. To get the water in there, what do you do?
We just go ahead and press the fill button here, and the water will come from the pipes upstairs.
So I see you've got a treadmill in here. Why wouldn't you just have the animal just work out in a treadmill?
Well, the water actually takes the weight off of their joints so that they can move more easily. So for a dog in this case that has bad knees, she can actually move her legs to the full extension and flexion rather than on a land treadmill where it's going to be harder for her.
So this animal's going right now about 0.2, 0.3 miles per hour.
Yeah, and she can actually go up higher because she's been doing this a while. So I'm going to bump her up a little bit.
Bailey's not loving this right
Bailey's
now.
Bailey's not loving it.
Shauna, how many treatments would Bailey go through before you start noticing an improvement?
Bailey, it depends on the dog, but with Bailey, as long as the owners are cutting down the treats at home as well, you can usually see the benefits within 4 to 6 weeks. It comes a lot with owner compliance as well, though. So as long as they're doing the program at home, cutting back the food and doing the weight loss, it's gonna be more rapid.
It really is sort of a teamwork effort, isn't it?
It is.
You have the therapeutic element, which happens here in the facility, but the owner, the pet caregiver, really has a responsibility on the other side.
Correct.
And just around the corner from this high-tech trimming tank is Manhattan's Bidoe Learning Center, where people and their pets trim down the low-tech way. Yoga instructor Carrie Harrendorf first came up with the idea of doga, dog yoga, when she noticed her dog Charlie mimicking her poses.
Every time I would lay my mat out, Charlie would have to be right there on the mat with me. So rather than move him aside, I just started modifying my own practice, incorporating him. And I would be in a twist and I would look over and he would be on his back and kind of in a twist as well.
Doga is a partner exercise. The owners are here for their dogs, but they're also getting a good workout too.
In a doga class, we'll incorporate different aspects of yoga. You get to do stretches, your dog gets to do stretches. We do a lot of massage techniques for the dog, so it's a very relaxing, very hands-on, personal, one-on-one time with your dog. Good.
But with two-thirds of all American adults chronically overweight and fewer than half exercising regularly, good old-fashioned dog walking can really have an impact. The 2006 PPET study encouraged people and pets to exercise together, including walking. It found that in just 1 year, dog owners dropped 5% of their total body weight, while their dogs dropped 15%.
Come on, Tender.
Hi, Julia. How
Hi,
are you
Daris.
Doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. How's Tender doing?
Oh, it's been almost a year since Julia and Tundra had their troubling weigh-ins. Now it's time for Tundra's moment of truth.
There we go.
9 months ago, he weighed in at just over 36 pounds. Pretty heavy for such a small dog.
All right, Tundra, it looks like you're at 33.5 today. He was 36.2.
Okay.
So that is excellent.
Oh, good.
But he probably still needs to lose another 4 or 5 pounds.
So it seems like Tundra needs to lose a few more pounds, but he's well on his way. And so is Julia. She lost an incredible 40 pounds, more than half her goal. And she's also reduced her risk of diabetes.
I feel much better. I'm proud of myself. You get an immediate feeling of well-being during that walk. Tundra and I, you know, share a problem, and we're solving it together, and I think it definitely strengthens our bond.